brace yourselves. It's time for the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Rock and Roll Football Podcast with Matt Ford and...
Chris Skull.
That's right. Scully in a lovely Tony DiRigo t-shirt.
England's number three.
Is that Chelsea merch from the time?
I think, is it not England?
Well, I don't know, it's hidden like England's... a Commodore England.
Oh yeah,
Commodore
that's
Chelsea
early
shirt.
Chelsea. Yeah.
Also, England's number three with no apostrophe.
Oh, interesting.
Plural of England. Is that hooky gear? I mean, in a way, it's cooler if it is, isn't it?
I don't.
Knock off moody gear.
I wonder how many of these they sold.
This just
would
the
surely
one.
Be, yeah, just would that. Be the only one that exists.
That was the prototype, and that was it. What would you say? Moody gear?
Moody gear? Friend of the show, Josh Widdicombe, bought this for me. He found it in a charity shop. He said he walked into the charity shop, and it was the first thing just hung up.
That's
yeah,
so
he's
cool.
Like, got to get that.
Love Tony DiRigo. His hair was phenomenal.
Very, I met him, very Australian.
Very Australian and quite eccentric in a nice way.
Yeah.
Different to other footballers.
I feel like he still had the same hair because he had a bit of a mullet, didn't he? You can kind of see it.
I think
there.
He's got a skinhead now.
Has he?
I met him at a thing a couple of years ago. He was lovely. Yeah. You're right, very Australian.
Yeah.
Very expressive.
Yeah.
Very sweet man. So there you go. If you've ever wondered about Tony DiRigo, you're now fully appraised. We are, in this next hour or so, basically losing our minds over England playing at altitude. But there are also some hilarious chats about animals going feral in honour of Danny Murphy. And also school sports day nightmares in honour of Chris Skull.
When sports days go bad.
Brace yourself.
The Rock and Roll Football Podcast with Matt Ford and Matt Dyson.
Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio with Matt Ford and Chris Skull going absolutely England do lally. We will be covering every single angle, including kickoff time, humidity, altitude, the lot.
Yes.
This is your meteorological home for the next 3 hours. But here to preview and review a sensational week of World Cup action is Chris Skull.
Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen might be 50 years old, but the Thunder Road leading to the MetLife Stadium and the World Cup final continues to be paved, yeah? Let's start with Germany. Let's start with Germany and the glory days. Well, they've passed them by. Julian Nagelsmann is now jobless and the four-time World Cup winners are out after the first knockout stage after Paraguay dumped them out on pens. The Netherlands soon joined them. Soon join the Germans in the Badlands of World Cup ignominy. West Ham's Crescencio Somerville missed the penalty in a torrid penalty shootout to send Morocco through. France are still working on a dream. That is a third World Cup victory. They had quite the Springsteen in their step as they dispatched Graham Potter's Sweden 3-0. And oh, the Azteca was on fire, as were Ecuadorian lungs at that altitude. As Mexico progressed with a 2-0 victory. And then it was England.
Come on.
The Three Lions. And for the vast majority of the game, they looked like they were going radio nowhere. But then up stepped Harry Kane. And you can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. Which came in the 75th minute as our captain rifled in a header to equalise. And then broke Congo hearts 11 minutes later to win it. Because the night belonged to England. Because the night belonged to us. Belgium then proved that they had the hungrier hearts as they came from 2-0 down to beat Senegal 3-2 in extra time. USA and Spain are through to the secret garden of the round of 16. And what about Cabo Verde last night? Cabral scored a worldie that was born in the USA and then ran into the stand to kiss his girlfriend and that after that extra time equaliser against the world champions. But it wasn't to be as Argentina went from dancing in the dark to dancing in the next round with a 3-2 victory. And so the round of 16 starts today. Canada, Morocco at 6. Paraguay versus France at 10. And Outlaw Pubs! Outlaw Pubs will be open until 5 a.m. Monday morning. Matt Ford, Chris Skull, tramps like us. Baby, we were born to run. Absolute Radio Rock and Roll Football.
You're a genius! What a week of football it's been, Chris Skull.
It's been amazing. It's been amazing. What a treat.
And Cape Verde, Cabo Verde.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that That second goal of theirs last night, an absolute screamer.
Incredible. Run into the stand, kissed his girlfriend. It looked like, it reminded me of like...
Should that be a yellow card?
Yeah, I think he got a yellow card for that.
You can't go snogging
it's
people.
Like he didn't
like a swimming
know what
pool,
to do.
No bombing, no heavy petting.
Do you think they've got one of those, Infantino's got that sign up at all the games?
I bet he has.
It was like he didn't know what to do. He just lost his mind. He ran into the crowd and kissed his girlfriend.
It was brilliant.
It was brilliant.
And it just goes to show that Argentina, one of the favourites to win it, struggled against Cape Verde. So it puts our...
draw with Ghana in perspective.
Exactly. And the manner in which we beat the Congo.
Yeah.
The Congo. The Congo. The Democratic Republic of Congo.
Yeah.
What did you make of that then?
I thought it was... we just keep grinding them out at the moment. Yeah. There's part of me that thinks we might just smash Mexico.
Yes.
Do you not think, no, Germany 7, Brazil 1 when the Brazil were at home? Is there an element? We always smash a team in a World Cup. For the last 3 or 4 World Cups,
yeah.
Someone gets it.
Who's getting it?
Who's getting it? 2,000 metres above sea level.
Hostile Mexican
I'm not being
atmosphere.
Funny. They've got Raul Jimenez. He plays for Wolves.
I know.
Are they there's a championship team, aren't they, basically?
But with a Champions League mentality.
What, the Mexicans?
Yeah.
Really?
They're well up for it, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're at home, 2,000 feet in the air. Which, how can humans exist at that sort of altitude?
And also, a factor is England have just arrived at their hotel in the last few hours and there are hundreds of Mexicans outside already bibbing the horns, air, you know, shouting, screaming, booing.
Do you know what I love? I don't know if it's a generational thing. It doesn't bother me. It bothers me when our fans would do something like that. When other fans do it to us, I love... You know when you play like Turkey away or something like that? When the national anthem gets booed, I'm like, whoa.
Yes,
this is going to be tasty.
Spicy.
When we boo other peoples, I'm like, no, come on. Yeah. Well, that doesn't bother me too much. I think it's a bit of panto. Whereas when other fans are hostile, I'm like, oh, this is it.
Yeah,
you want a bit of a hostile foreign atmosphere.
Well, is it Anthony Barry, the assistant manager? He said that England have a bring it on mentality. So, like, if they're booing the national anthem, if they want us to play 2,000 metres above sea level, they're going to change the kickoff. Bring it on.
Come on.
Bring it on.
Bellingham will thrive.
Yes.
He relishes it. He plays on the edge.
Yeah. Smashing Raul Jimenez around.
What? It's sent off and then losing. So, what are your plans then? Are you going to stay up Sunday night?
I'm staying up. I was actually speaking to a mate this morning. He's going to go to bed at 10 and set an alarm for 1, which I think is the most dangerous strategy anyone can deploy.
Also, how on earth do you sleep when you're that excited?
Yeah.
This is Christmas Eve levels of pandemonium in my heart and mind.
It's a classic World Cup fixture.
Just
stay up. It
doesn't
get much better than this.
It's so exciting. You think... I think you just got to stay up. Stay up and drink through is my strategy.
Don't drink through. Drink through is a dangerous strategy.
Go on, explain why.
Well, I actually think a lot of people will be going out to the pubs at maybe 9 p.m.
Yeah.
You know, you're hours away from a 1 a.m. kickoff, but 3 a.m. and then 5 a.m. people rolling out of pubs at 5 a.m. They're going to be sloshed.
Come on,
no one's at their desk
come on,
at
this
9.
This is England. You know what could what could possibly go right? Text us on 8-12-15. What is your approach to the game tomorrow night? Are you setting alarms? Are you going to bed? Are you going to the pub? Are you drinking through? Have you got snacks already?
Your strategies.
Yeah.
Your timelines.
Apologies to listeners in Ireland, Wales and Scotland. We realise this is very England-centric. But what with the only ones left?
Yeah. It's not our fault.
It's not our fault.
You had a go.
You had a go. We got behind you.
Yeah.
I am missing the tartan army.
Yeah, they produced a much better performance than the fans produced a better performance than the players.
Best fans at the World Cup.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
If there was like a golden boot, what would it be like? A golden seat?
Golden pint.
Golden pint. Scotland get the golden pint. Okay, it's time for the first roundup of the funniest clips of the week in football.
Matt, can I just say?
Yeah.
I think this is the best edition of this ever.
Wow. Okay.
This is basically greatest hits.
It is, and we got 2 instalments for you, and I think the second instalment is even better than the first.
Whoa!
So this is the England roundup. I'd completely missed this. The BBC sent a reporter who's a fan of the Democratic Republic of Congo to report from a pub where their fans watched it. I mean, he loses all composure.
Now that the game has started... Congo just scored, and as you can see, it is going crazy! It's going crazy, Nathan, look at that! It's going crazy!
Fair. And it was a great goal, that first one.
It was.
Not only one, but it was, man. Yeah. Joe Hart, watching in Salford, didn't hold back either. Listen to some of these screams.
Kane could get the shot in. Yeah!
Whoa.
That is such a meme. The Joe Hart, yeah.
It's like a primal scream,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's like an exorcism or something.
So, the gaffer, Thomas Tuchel, asked about what children should do Sunday night, Monday morning.
Write an excuse for school and let them watch football. Come on, man. There's so much school to go to, but World Cup is every 4 years. Let them watch. There will be a big, big match on in 4 days, and we need the support of everyone, and especially of the children.
There I kind of go. Agree. You know, sometimes it takes an outsider. I think we can be very British about it and go, no, a child's education is the most important thing and we can't be making exceptions.
And that's why it's been going wrong since 1966. The kids aren't being allowed to stay up to 1 a.m.
That's
right. To watch these games.
What we've got to do is stay up late,
yeah,
play on our computers, bunk
iPad.
Off.
Everyone gets 2 iPads.
Oh, I just love the way you say it. It's just, to him, it's so obvious. So, yeah. Well, why wouldn't you stay up and watch it? I mean, I sort of agree with him. Is one day going to really make that much difference?
Yeah.
It's a work or school or whatever.
Yeah, what they learn in Monday, I don't even know.
I mean, I don't have kids, so it doesn't affect me. So
I think it's fine.
I ain't got skin in the game.
It's fine.
What are your, well, we'll come on to this. But just to round this up, my word, I'd forgotten how bad Ross Kemp gets during tournaments after England games. Brace yourself.
Yes! 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 Harry Kane! Harry Kane! That's what we're talking about. Great changes. Made a massive difference. Opened them up. Come on, England. Come on, England. Close it down. Close it down. 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Plus extra time. My God, why do you do this to me?
That really is biblical, isn't it?
I think he would
so
be...
Old Testament. Can My you... Lord.
Can you imagine watching a game with him? He's so intense about England.
Too intense.
Once every 2 years, he comes out of hibernation and like appears on social media just screaming, the veins in his neck popping out.
What is up with Grant Mitchell? Why is he... we never hear from Phil. What's Phil doing during the World Cup? So, are you going to let your kids stay up and watch it Sunday
night? No, they can't stay up for 9 p.m. kickoffs. My kids are four and seven.
Yeah.
They can't even stay up for like 9 p.m. kickoffs.
And are you trying to get them
yeah,
to?
Yeah, trying. It's just, it would never, 1 a.m. is impossible.
If you've got kids, what is your approach? Text us 8-12-15 and what's your strategy towards Sunday night, Monday morning? An anonymous texter says, 4 of us are on the night shift from 10 p.m. till 6 a.m. All work is already complete. Beers are ready. Just don't tell the gaffer.
That is someone who's working on roadworks. 100%. Whenever you go past roadworks, they're never doing anything. They do the work. They say, it takes 4 weeks. They get it done within 2 days, and the rest of the time, they're just sat up having beers and pizza.
You're listening to Chris Skull on Talk Radio, the home of common sense. Oh, my word. What are these roadworks guys doing? They're never actually doing anything. It wouldn't surprise me if they closed the M1, erected a massive screen, and they all just bunked off to watch it. So, let us know. If you've got kids... What side of the line are you on here? Do they have to go to bed? Or if they want to watch it, do you let them watch it?
Yeah.
As a kid, at what age would you have wanted to stay up and watch it? 7 would be too young, I think.
I remember watching the 94 World Cup final. Was that on late?
It would have been on American time. Yeah, Italy, Brazil, at the Rose Bowl.
I stayed up for that. Yeah.
And that wasn't even England.
Yeah. But do you know what the BBC are doing the day after the game? They're doing a playthrough again, aren't they?
That's
from
right.
From like 6 a.m.
But it doesn't reveal the score.
So it doesn't reveal the score. So you can do that.
It's not the same thing. You know you're not watching it live. Yeah, you know you're not watching it live. You're just kidding yourself. Yeah. I think we're all collectively terrified about this. It's that altitude. It's the Mexicans in Mexico. I love it. I love a bit of a scare.
I still, every time I realise we're playing Mexico, I think of Mike Bassett, England manager of the film. 3 cheers to Ramirez! And like, we're 2-0 down to the Mexicans!
Helen has been in touch,
yes,
Chris.
Yes, she writes, my son is going on a school trip to Germany. Have to drop him off at school at 2:45 a.m. Monday morning. I can't decide if I go to bed beforehand or just plough through. Either way, I'll miss the end of the match. Helen, North London. Or just drop him off before the game and let him spend the 1 to 2 a.m. period hanging around outside the school gates. What could go wrong?
That's a really good idea. Thanks. Just let him walk there.
Yeah, just let him walk there, yeah.
Be character forming. I say plough through and get it on in the radio in the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Camerson on the radio.
Yeah.
I've heard it's catching on. Lou says, I've made a big boo-boo and offered to work overtime Monday morning, 7 a.m. start. So the plan is to have Sunday lunch down the pub with a couple of pints, then hopefully in bed for five and get up for the footy.
Oh, that's a risky strategy. But producer Will made a great point a second ago, which is that they talked about bringing the game earlier because of thunderstorms.
That's right.
And they may have to delay the game. So we're all sat here imagining that the game is starting at 1 a.m. It seems likely that it will be later than that, possibly even a 3, 4 a.m. start.
And then if it's extra time and penalties...
Oh, my
God. It's going to go on forever. It's going to be like Friday and they're still going on. Oh, my. How long's this hydration break? I think I'm just going to push through. So I'm gigging in Sheffield tomorrow night, doing British Scandal live at the Crosswise Festival.
Amazing.
On stage at 5:15. So when it was getting moved to 7, I was livid. I was like, I don't want to miss a single second because I just know something will happen.
But also, if it was moving to 7 p.m. and the game moved to 7 p.m, like... Would you be nervous about that? Like anyone, wouldn't everyone would be wanting to know the score?
Exactly.
And you, I include you in
well,
that.
Well, me mainly, I would say. I would say. I mean, you and I are both, I would say, equally obsessed about England. Yeah, proper England fans, as well as supporting our clubs. It's just too big. And do you know what? I can't be bothered. I then start having imaginary arguments with people I've never even met. Do you know what I mean? That you just imagine someone will go, well, it's only just a game of football. I'm seething to myself. I'm going, it's not just a game of football. Who am I arguing with?
Do you know the best...
It's about where you're from, man.
The person who handled hosting an event crossing over with an England game was, of course, Brandon Flowers of the Killers.
Yes.
A few years ago, when England played the Netherlands at the Euros and they had the Killers gig, they waited until the 88th minute, put it on the big screen, showed that England had won 2-1 with the late Ollie Watkins winner, and then launched into Mr. Brightside. If you were there, that is going to be the greatest moment of your life.
And they did it with like red and white St. George's Cross cannons.
Yes, there was confetti cannons.
Confetti cannons for our boys. Oh, our beautiful boys.
That could have been you at Crosswise Festival. Nailed an hour.
So we're going to drive
scandalous
back.
Podcasting.
That's
and
right.
then flick it on the big screens, the confetti cannons.
Kaboom. So we're going to drive back. So I think we get home for like 11, maybe midnight, and then just...
Then what?
Couple of beers, watch the game.
Couple of beers.
Got to have a couple of beers.
Okay, and then you sat down and then they go, right, it's going to actually, it's 3 a.m.
I've got enough beers in to... If you came around my house now, I look like one of those. What are those preppers that are ready for the apocalypse? Yeah. What do you call them in America?
Survivalists.
Survivalists, but without the guns. I basically just got... My cupboards are just like full of tins and beans and Timothy Taylor Landlord. Just cruise campo. It's like the end of Sleeping with the Enemy. Just tins and tins.
Beans and beer.
Beans and beer.
Your gaff is going to stink Monday morning.
Kicking you into shape. It's the Rock and Roll Football Podcast. You're listening to the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
About 34 hours until kickoff. Thunderstorms permitting.
Yeah.
TikTok. What is your strategy? Text us on 8-12-15. Obviously, it's not football's not, you know, there's Wimbledon going on. And this week, Chris, you're at a school sports day.
Tuesday is my daughter's sports day. And dads up and down the country will know this feeling. Once a year, your athleticism is tested as a dad in the dad's race. Now, there's some etiquette to this. Obviously, dads listening will know, you don't turn up in sportswear. You don't want to look like you're too keen for the dad's race. But one of the other things you don't do is you don't stretch. You don't want to be down there at the start line of the dad's race looking like you're too keen. I didn't stretch, yeah? I'm now well into my 40s. I pulled away in my heat of the dad's race, straight away, hamstring popped. For like 5 metres in.
Chris!
In front of my daughter's whole school year, all the parents. Now, I had a choice. Do I do a Derek Redmond? Do I pull up, look to the crowd for my wife to hobble me over the finish line? Yeah. Or do I take the braver option, which is try and finish the race and not let people know I've absolutely hammered my hamstring? I actually finished my heat second last. So I didn't actually lose completely, but I have done myself a real mischief. And then the heat after me, there was multiple dads' races. The one after me, a guy stacked it in front of the whole school.
What a loser.
And the kids were going, way! I was like, the only thing that could have been worse was if his trousers had fallen down or something like that.
So the hamstring?
The hamstring.
At what point were you ahead at this point?
No, it was like straight out the traps. It was barely a pace. Barely a footstep.
I've never done my hamstring. Explain it to me how it feels.
Remember in Forrest Gump where he's like, it feels like something jumped up and bit me. It's like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's did you yelp?
Oh, yeah.
And did people notice? They go, oh, he's slowed down.
Well, the adrenaline of the race I was like, I'm going to get to the end.
Good lad.
And as soon as I got to the end, I was like, I am in big trouble here. And so I just like limping off. But it made me think, the heat after me, the dad fell over.
Yeah, no, don't try and like palm it off
and
on
him. So that guy's worse than me. But also, the nation, there's going to be sports days up and down the country. I want to know what's the most, but there must be more embarrassing things that have been seen.
Yes.
Your experience maybe when you're a kid or when you're witnessing sports days this week, what have you seen?
Oh, yes.
Do you know parents who turn up in spikes?
Yeah.
Desperate to win the dad's races.
This is brilliant. Text us on 81215 with your school sports day nightmares. Before we come back to the school sports day thing, how do you actually feel about how England are playing and about how well we can do? And has that changed since the tournament began?
I've got two ways I think about this. One, like, oh, we've just got to get through it. Okay, as long as we're winning, okay, we play badly, but as long as we get through it. And then the other part of my brain thinks, we are playing rubbish. We are the worst team. We don't deserve to be there. What, like, we're going to get caught out, like, as soon as we play anyone who's any good.
I know what you mean, but this is what I cling to. Kane. I mean, that second goal, he can score from anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's incredible.
Bellingham. Rice.
Gordon. Rashford.
Yeah.
Anderson. Rashford. The most expensive British player in history, and rightly so.
I don't know, he hasn't really turned it
on. Shut up, he's brilliant. He's a genius. You don't know what you're watching. He's wasted on
Rashford
it.
Keeps losing the ball every time. What's he doing?
It's a bad habit.
I know, he's so quick and he runs, but then he's like the end product. This is, but Rashford is like what it's like watching West Ham. We're so good until we have to actually kick it in the net. That's what
kick
Rashford
it in the net. I am somewhere in between those two points.
Right.
I oscillate between the two similarly, but I kind of am a bit more positive. Partly because of that Croatia game. I think we have shown what we can do when games open up a bit. The last three games we played against really defensive teams, and that's really, really hard.
Yeah, but
Mexico are going to go for it. The thing that worries me is defensively is the right backs. Because we haven't got any.
Yeah.
A lack of right
and
backs.
And there's Trent Alexander-Arnold, who plays for Real Madrid, sat at home with his slippers on, not out in the US.
But you know what? Whoever they take or don't take, let's say Trent would have gone and he kept playing more forward. We go, this is the problem with Trent. He should have taken Reece James.
Do you know, if you've seen Tuchel's really having a go at Jed Spence, like,
it's
like
Jed! Yeah. Jed! Jed!
Has it occurred to Thomas Tuchel that is just Jed, you know, it's not Jed's fault. That's just his ability.
But what he's encouraging Jed Spence to do is do what Jed Spence is really good at and play forward attacking football.
Right.
He's there to be. He wants the whole thing to be faster, doesn't he? He's trying to instill it in them.
Yeah.
Move forward fast, catch teams on the break. The moment you stop and play it backwards, the whole plan is ruined.
Yeah.
So he's just trying to give him the confidence.
Yeah.
And I do quite like seeing a manager occasionally just ball a player out.
It's just such a shame that Trent Alexander-Arnold isn't a forward, running, quick, attacking right back. That's a shame, isn't it, Thomas?
Thomas!
If you're listening.
Okay, we're talking about school sports day nightmares. Keep texting us 81215 after Scully popped his hamstring. Nick, in deepest, darkest Dorset, says a couple of years ago, I attempted the dad's race at the village school sports day. It turns out it's not a sensible thing to run in leather-soled brogues.
Wow.
I cartwheeled a couple of times and took out another dad. The video my wife took went viral for a little while in the very local area. I will see if she can find it. Nick, tweet it to us, at Matt Ford, at CJ Skull at R&R Football. We want to see that video. We will amplify it on our on our forums, on our platforms.
Yeah.
And text us on 81215 with your school sports day nightmares. I think we're all just trying to stay calm ahead of tomorrow night.
How are we going to pass the time? I'm sweating. You know that meme of the guy sweating? That's what I feel like. I just can't. The tension is too much. I'm going to get to 1 a.m. Monday morning.
I love it when it gets to this stage of the tournament. Because the group stages, you're like, I doesn't feel like there's that much jeopardy, even if the games are hard. This is when the adrenaline.
10 seconds, can we talk about if we play Brazil in the quarterfinals? Can you imagine that? On a Saturday night, I think that as well.
I think that might be easier than playing Mexico in Mexico.
I agree.
That's my personal take.
And at that point, we've basically won it.
Okay, it's time for our second round of the funniest clips from the week in football. The most talked about clip, possibly of the year.
Yeah.
Danny Murphy, mid-commentary between Norway and Senegal, casually drops this story in.
You used to have a cat called Bob.
The game's not that bad.
Yeah, he jumped in the back of a Royal Mail van and we lost him.
We have a double substitution for Norway.
Sad, Alex really. Anyway.
I don't understand about that. So the cat jumped in the back of the van. It's like an episode of Postman Pat. And the cat just like drove off. And so then the postman dropped this cat off somewhere else. Is that? Yeah. That's the implication. Yeah, I'm just checking.
We shall come back to it. Pitbull, the musical star. I just don't like, the name puts me off.
Yeah, don't
might
get
as well call yourself XL Bully. You're like, am I meant to like this? Call yourself Labrador. Or Border Collie.
Yeah.
Was that his support act, do you think? He was in Bellahouston Park in Glasgow this week, and there was only one song he was going to sing. Trying to zhuzh it up a bit. Oh, it's always the overlap. Gary Neville and Roy Keane had to guess which old teammates they played with this week, but without saying their names.
We've got some cards with the names of our former Manchester United teammates on them, but we can't say their name, their position, or their nationality.
His wife gear crashed to Christmas too one time. And
which also chaos, best, yes.
His wife ruined the Christmas too. Yeah.
She ruined it for me.
Not for me either. That's good.
Right. Okay.
Ooh.
There's a story there.
There's a story there.
There's a story there.
Well, if you're wondering what happened to Danny Murphy's cat, back later in the week, he told us the second part of the story. This is even funnier.
Well, surprisingly, Steve, there was a lot of interest, which surprised us both. But yeah, he didn't actually die. We did get him back 6 or 7 weeks later. Unfortunately, he'd gone feral and we couldn't reintegrate him into the home, and he ended up living with my friend's parents in Preston, and that was the life he had, and now he is passed away, unfortunately, many years ago. Thanks for all the concern, those who have been messaging us.
R.I.P. Bob.
You went feral.
Is that true of anyone, that if you go feral enough you have to live in Preston?
That's it. 6 weeks away from the family unit and we all go feral. Have you ever had a cat or dog that's gone feral? Text us 81215. Yeah, I wonder if other people.
What does it mean to go feral?
Well, like, went wild. Basically became a vagabond, lived on the streets and disintegrated from society, I guess.
Really antisocial.
Yeah, I mean, cats are pretty antisocial as it is.
Yeah.
Once they get sort of street level, there's no bringing them back. It can't be reasoned with. But I've never had a pet cat, so I don't know.
No, no.
But text on 81215 if you've ever had a pet go feral. Kelvin in Lowestoft was talking about your school sports day nightmares. He said, my school sports day involved swimming. As I dived in at the tender age of 8, my trunks came down to my knees and everyone could see my bum. I frantically tried to pull them up and blame that for why I didn't win. I mean, at 8...
That is literally the classic nightmare of turning up to school and everyone can see your bum or something like that.
But also, you're then doomed for the rest of your school life. You're always the guy whose pants came off while swimming. You're the bum guy. You would just never live it. You'd be like, I can't wait to get to secondary school. And you'd have to go to a secondary school that no one else went to.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard a story. When I shared my story to a friend of what had happened in my sports day doing my hamstring, my friend told me that he'd been to a sports day. When they get out the tug of war, the parents go either side of the rope, tug on the rope, and the rope had snapped and both sets of parents tumbled down on the sports day field. Yeah, the rope gave way in the tug of war.
Has it ever kicked off? It must have kicked off at a school sports day.
What would we want to know?
The mums and dads races, 8, 12, 15, because obviously dads still get too competitive when they're supporting their kids at football from the touchline. But what about on sports day? Does it ever spill over? Yeah. We want to hear about when school sports day goes wrong and bad. Text us on 81215. Breaking feral animal news. Joe in Liverpool says, I had a hamster at primary school I brought home for summer holidays. It got out of the cage. 4 weeks later, we heard a sound at the side of the sink. It was the hamster eating plaster off the wall. It had gone feral. We had to pick it up with a coat hanger. I then had to take a viscous hamster back to school.
Vicious, surely.
Oh, vicious. I say viscous.
Viscous, like, put it in a blender.
weeks it had just been eating off scraps then. Yeah. Eating plaster.
That's interesting, isn't it? So what? So Danny Murphy's cat took about 7 weeks to go feral. Yeah. A hamster will only take 4.
Maybe it's, according to species. Yeah. The bigger the species,
how
the longer it takes.
Plasterboard they've eaten.
School sports day nightmares as well. Someone here says, I once taught at a primary school in Glasgow and we held a staff versus parents fives tournament, except there were quite a few footballers' kids in the school at various stages. Imagine our shock when the parents' five-a-side team rocked up and were made of first-team players from one of Scotland's biggest teams. We didn't think that one through, did we? We should have mixed and matched.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite spicy to have a parents' versus teachers' game.
High risk.
A lot of scores could get settled in that.
Particularly, it's the teachers that are going to come off worse, surely.
Yeah, when I was at sixth form, we did a sixth formers versus teachers game. And the crowd was so rabid, we actually knocked down the fence on the school playground. It was
what?
It was crazy.
Like
honestly.
A riot. It was like a prison riot. It was like a Johnny Cash gig.
I swear the ref blew up the game early because the crowd, like, obviously, were cheering.
It was
on.
Like Celtic Hearts at the end of the season.
That was feral. We went feral that day.
So the kids went feral.
The kids.
It's just 90
like,
minutes
was, yeah,
in the fresh
yeah.
air.
Crunching tackles on the teachers.
Wow. God, I'd love to see that.
Yes.
That's like playing the prison guards.
It was like
it's that. It's like Shawshank. Wallop. Okay, last week on Trust Your Gut, it was South Africa against Mexico. Is that right?
Canada.
Yeah. South Africa against Canada, and we guessed...
Canada would win.
And Canada did win.
They did.
The week before we said Brazil.
Yep.
So the gut has been right every time.
It has so far, yeah.
So this week it's England against Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing English food. Scully's doing Mexican food. We're going to feed them to producer Will. Will, that is my English offering. It's a Scotch egg.
Right.
2 pork pies and some Worcester sauce flavoured Walker's crisps.
Oh, wow.
That's a true English platter.
I just want to say, the bookie's favourite here, Scully.
Do you want to tip the mic up so we can hear?
Right, here we go.
Here we go.
Going for a pork pie.
Not too much jelly in there. That can make a pork pie quite bad.
Oh, so good.
Don't try and lead the witness. Objection. The pork pie is good.
Pork pie's amazing.
Yeah, okay.
And then some Worcester sauce flavoured. I just thought that was extra patriotism there.
I would have liked to have seen a fry up.
Bit of zing. Yes, I was tempted to just get a bag of chips on Deliveroo.
All right, bit of Scotch egg.
Bit of Scotch egg. It's the trio. It's the Holy Trinity, as we call it in England.
Yeah?
Even at altitude.
Even at altitude, it tastes great. Chris Skull, what have you offered up for our Mexican dish?
Will, please reach over your computer. There is a bag there with the finest Mexican cuisine on the planet. It is, of course, Doritos.
It says
not
prep.
El Doritos.
Flaming on Doritos!
Hot. Flaming hot, baby.
They are going to, oh my
Get
word, brace yourself.
Gregory.
Oh, God. I'm not great with spice, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Well, I've actually got some milder ones if you...
No, we'll try. These are what
we've
brought.
Yeah, we've got to respect Mexican culture.
Got to trust the gut.
Here we go. Yeah. Flaming hot Doritos.
These are hot.
Are they?
Yeah. They make my bag pop.
Oh,
they've got a kick. It's got a kick.
Oh, we've got a safeguard.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my word, health and
Did
safety.
We do a risk assessment.
You look in agony. Ooh, they're twisting his melons, man.
I'm going
to... You need a pork pie palate cleanser.
He's gone for a pork pie palate cleanser.
Wow.
It's possibly the easiest win in Trust Your Gut here.
Okay.
And what you... England 3.
Wow!
For every bit of British food that was brought.
Wow!
Mexico 0.
Whoa! He's saying 3-0! Come on!
Show up.
His gut's been right every week.
I don't hate it. Fine.
Did you lose on purpose for patriotic reasons?
No.
He's genuinely terrible.
Yeah. Let's see if it happens now, Monday.
Will's gut says he's coming home. Rock and roll football on Absolute Radio with Matt Ford and Chris Skull. Still a few hours to go until Mexico, England, in the Azteca at altitude, halfway into space, forcing our boys to compete in the outer atmosphere.
Oh, man.
Have to get Branson's jet up there, man.
Do you think it really will be an advantage?
Of course it will. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You know what I always think? Lennox Lewis. Remember that against Rackman? You know, that fight in altitude. That was at altitude in South Africa. He didn't acclimatise. He got sparked out.
Oh, man, and that was Lennox Lewis.
That was Lennox Lewis. Yeah, I always think of that. Whenever they say acclimatise, two words, Lennox Lewis. It's real.
I'm now convinced we're going to get battered.
We could get absolutely thrashed. Equally with Harry Kane. You can dig it out for that second goal. I've watched it, I would say I probably watched it at least 1,000 times.
Yeah, it's so good. The commentary, the fans behind the goal punch in the air, it's wonderful.
Do you know what? The moment it went in, after I'd calmed down a bit, I thought, I'm going to watch that for years and years to come. I'm going to fall asleep with that on the laptop after a big night out. That's going to be one of my go-to moments now. Pierce 96.
Ollie Watkins, when he scored that
last-minute
winner.
Luke Shaw against Italy.
Luke Shaw.
Kane and Sterling against Germany. New memories from our new boys. We're talking about when animals go feral in honour of Danny Murphy's cat. Sally in Maidstone says, our hamster escaped in the common room and was sat on. I'm guessing it didn't end well. I'm guessing the hamster is no more.
Yeah.
Can you beat that? Yeah. Feral animal stories. Did you have a pet that went feral? What about looking after school pets as well? That was always the thing, wasn't it? You take the class hamster back.
My dad, for the primary school, with the school budgie. One summer, I was given the school budgie. We took it back. My dad opened it up in the kitchen, got the cage out, and it went straight out the window.
Why did he have the window open?
I have no idea. That budgie lasted 30 seconds, and I had the whole 6 weeks holiday like, great, I'm going to have to go back to school and go, oh, I lost the budgie on the first day, like the first minute of it in my house.
Was there any moment where your family almost had a harebrained scheme to get a different budgie?
I think we had to just go in with the empty cage and go, what do you want us to do? We'll go get another budgie. Yeah.
Why did he have the window open?
It was the tiny little kitchen window, but he just left it. The budgie went straight for it.
Why did he open the cage?
He thought it'd just get onto his hand or something like that. It just flew out the window.
Skull senior.
Lightning out, yeah.
Terrible, terrible decision. We're also talking about school sports day nightmares.
Richard in Cardiff has been on. He says, hi, gents. Once at my son's school sports day, there was a slow bicycle race, the objective being to cross the finish line in the slowest time without putting your feet on the ground. Being a keen cyclist, I turned up in all the gear, including my road bike with pedals that you need to clip into. Off we go, and as I'm going as slow as I can, to the point where I begin to topple. Being clipped in, I couldn't put my feet on the ground quick enough and went over, taking out every other dad, domino style. My son Kai hasn't forgiven me to this day.
Oh, that's bad, because it's turning up in all the gear.
Yes.
And then being an embarrassment.
I'm in the market for this.
This is what we want.
Yes.
We want absolute catastrophes. Text us on 8-12-15.
Do you know the recommendation from altitude experts?
Here we go.
Have you heard this?
I have heard this. I know where this is going.
To cope with altitude, you have to get there 10 days before and acclimatise, or you get there the morning. You just turn up.
That's what we're doing. I thought you were going to talk about pharmaceutical intervention.
Oh, God.
Have you not heard?
No.
Okay, there's a theory
I've heard,
going round that to help play at altitude, you take Viagra. Because it was initially developed as a blood pressure drug.
Right.
It wasn't developed as a function drug. It was developed as a blood pressure drug because it opens the blood vessels, and they realised there was a particularly strong side effect.
So that's it, Tuchel and the boys.
Because it opens up your blood vessels. I mean, it's a heck of a way to be found offside.
The graphic visualisation popping up. You can play that. It is a body part you can play the ball with. So
it's allowed.
It's allowed, yeah.
But you're also, hair pulling's one thing.
We're going to be watching the game now, seeing if the boys have taken that option.
We will know.
We will know.
Maybe they could strap it down, I guess. Because it would be quite hard to. Disrespectful during the national anthem. Bloody hell, they really care. They're really going for it, those boys.
Boys are really saluting this one.
I mean, if it helps, they must be looking at... They'll be considering all options, surely.
Yeah.
And it's legal under WADA rules, apparently.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't count as a performance-enhancing substance.
Wow.
In that regard. So there
amazing.
You go.
That is actually... Yeah, that's an impressive bit
oxygen
of knowledge.
Oxygen tank, bit of Viagra.
Off we go.
Off we go.
Ready to watch the game
straight
at home.
Straight to altitude. yeah, that's just my plans. I don't know about our brave boys. Okay, each week we are in competition with the John Richardson Show for how many cards will be awarded this week, each week, in the World Cup. So, John Richardson, they predicted 99 cards. We predicted 98. There were 55 cards, bringing the total to 222 cards in total, which means we are winning the tournament 3-0. Each week we have battered them. So, the final World Cup final prediction will be worth 2 points for whoever's closest, or 4 points for guessing it bang on. So the scoring's changed.
So just for the final, just to amplify it.
Okay. So this week, this is John's prediction.
So I think there's about, I can't remember how many games there are a week. There's been about 25. We've been guessing around sort of 90 cards a week.
Yeah.
And they've been going one more or one less.
That's naughty.
Because we were really close. So I think, what do you want to guess this week?
86?
86. And
yeah,
they're
going to
go
good?
87 or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, losers.
So, okay, 86. And then we go 3-0 down and they get to win their own stupid feature.
Yeah, well, good for them.
Can I just say something? I'm going to be brutal. That's one of the thickest things I've ever heard. Because what they haven't thought of is there's only 10 games this week. The group stages are over. There are less teams in it. That is one of the most moronic things ever broadcast in global radio. They're predicting 86 cards from 10 games. That's like 9 cards a game. Do these people even watch football?
That serious questions need to be asked of their camp. 3-0 down.
Crazy. I mean, all you got to do is guess 85 to win.
Just do it then.
I could, you know. What do you think? From 10 games, how many cards?
What, 40? Average 3 or 4 per game?
Yeah.
5 at a stretch?
If you wanted to bring it home, I guess we could say like 50. So yeah. Then we'd be, or maybe 60.
How badly do you want to smash them?
Oh, I want to smash them hard.
85 then.
Do we do, is that game management?
Yeah, game management. You've just got to get through to the next round.
But do you know what? Without sounding
I'll tell you what you could do.
British, I want to do it fair.
The equivalent of getting on all fours and rolling the ball over the line with your head,
Brian
is,
Lord,
is to say one. Because I think it'll be closer to one than 86.
That's too high risk for me. I just want to win. Win at all costs, right?
Yeah. It's not going to be 43. It might be. I mean, no.
What would you
it's
say?
It's going to be, do one. It will be funny.
85. This show says 85 purely as an act of game management. I'm not happy with it. But I do believe you need a winner's mentality.
Yeah,
and I think
fine.
On some level, this will permeate through. They might be out there listening on the Rayo app.
Yeah, sure.
The England squad. It's a bit of light relief. Like, listen to Rock and Roll Football, yeah. Scully and Fordy,
yeah.
Just for a bit of morale. Maybe this, we will lead by example. And our boys will bring it home. This show says 85 to win the series. Okay. Well, there's been a development.
Whoa.
We've got another clip to play from John's show.
Oh, here we go.
I was not aware of this.
Ha ha. Our real guess is Susie.
It's 21. Ha. In your face, boys.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we get a real guess. Yeah, really clever. Oh, you're so clever.
Yeah. I made you think I'm an idiot. Yeah, yeah, you're 3-0 down.
No, yeah. Your results are those of an idiot. So I'm saying 10 games. What did they say? 21? I'm going to say 50. Or maybe 45. What do you think? 10 games. This level. 45.
An average of 4 yellow cards per game.
Yeah.
40.
But you're chucking a few reds. What? Get you up to 45?
Will there be reds? You might get 1 or 2.
Okay, so what do you reckon then? You're good at this.
40. I'd go 40.
It's in total. Yellows plus reds.
40.
40 is our real guess. There you go. It just got interesting. Obviously, just a sort of national meltdown about how we watch it on Sunday night. This was the announcement from the Prime Minister.
We're making sure that pubs can stay open on Monday morning, early on Monday morning, for the England game. So I know lots of people are making their plans. If you're planning to watch it in the pub, that is great. And it's really good for pubs as well.
Why do you laugh at that?
Come on,
pub,
England.
Pub. If you're planning to watch
it in the pub, go out and get battered. We're going to make sure that every British person can get battered. It's very important. Very important that British people get battered. Watching football sober is the worst thing in the world. We want every single Englishman and woman, to be able to go out and get leathered in the early hours.
I really want to just drive around and see what pubs are like kicking out at 5 a.m. on a Monday morning. It's going to be... This is what makes this nation great. isn't it? It is. It's stuff like this. The Prime Minister going, well, we've got to extend the opening times.
It's so funny.
The country feels like it's falling apart. But then I'm reminded we do have our priorities straight sometimes.
Do you know what? It's, I mean, obviously, lots of people don't drink, and I want to be mindful of that, and we're not glorifying
it. Especially not at 5 a.m. on a Monday morning.
But it's so funny that as advanced as we think we are, like we're talking about how AI is going to change everything. 2026, on the brink of a new industrial revolution, the biggest debate in the country is, can we open the pubs until 5 a.m? And the Prime Minister's gone, yes. This, I'm leaving soon. My number one priority is that you can go to the pub at 4 a.m. Man, have we made any progress? Or maybe this is the pinnacle.
The sun is going to be up at 5 a.m. It's going to be up. People walking out into daylight.
Straight on the bus to work.
Kicking you into shape. It's the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
So, let's just hope we win. Let's hope that next week, because it'll be Saturday night will be the quarterfinal, probably against Brazil. We'll be building up to that. Let's just hope we're still in it.
People listening to this were probably thinking, boys, what were you worried about? We won 7-0. We battered them in the Azteca.
But what if those people are Mexican? That's my fear. There could be Mexicans listening, Chris. Well, fingers crossed. And St. George's crossed.
Yes.
And let's hope. Let's hope that we're still in it next week. Quarterfinals is respectable, I think.
Yeah.
Before the
we'll
quarters.
We'll beat Brazil. If we can get there, we'll beat Brazil.
I actually think the Mexico game's the hardest game.
Yeah.
For anyone, I think this tournament's been really hard. Playing a team of that calibre and that intensity at that altitude in their place.
In that furnace, we could forge ourselves.
We could, yes.
Yeah.
Like irons in the football fire. Hopefully it's coming home. Chris, thank you very much.
Cheers, 40.
See you all next week.
Bye.
Rock and Roll Football. Podcast done.